Hey, everybody. You're listening to Into the Dark on Radio Free Brooklyn. And if you like what you hear on this station, including the Dolores Claiborne minute, which I didn't know about until just now, please saunter on over to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and throw us some money, because we're yours. And so you should be nurturing us with the power of cash. So, yeah, this is Into the Dark. We got a great show for you, and I'll see you guys on the opposite end of the theme music. Hooray.
Skeptic among believers, and the believer among skeptics.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Who are the witches?
Magic, necromancy, and witchcraft.
Wake up! They're all about you! All around you!
They're not always
the often erotic world of the witch.
The journalist with an inside knowledge of witchcraft.
It's a sex thing deep down, of course.
Hey, everybody, it is a sex thing deep down, of course. You're listening to The Dark, the show that takes you every witchy where and when you've ever wondered about. I'm super excited because we have someone in the studio today, which is a rarity recently. I feel like we've been doing a lot of pre-recorded interviews. I say we, I, me, by myself. Hello, hi, I'm Cooper. Anyway, so we've got Susan Huang here. And she is a monumental figure, I would say, in Brooklyn. Am I going too far? I don't think I am.
I like how you put everything, and I mean the whole bit about we are yours, so support us with, or nurture us with cash. That is, I love it.
I mean, we're just pets for these listeners, and we want to get belly rubs and the kind of like little
Cooper,
dog bone
psychic.
That cleans your teeth.
You're psychic, right?
Okay, here's a weird thing, right? So I just went back to Maine for a week, which is where I'm from. And I used to have weird sort of psychic-y experiences when I was growing up. And when I turned around like 18, 19, they started to fade away. And I assumed what it was that I had gone away to college and started drinking prodigious amounts of alcohol. And I figured that had done something to sort of burn off the psychic parts of my brain. But then
that's
I went back
true,
this...
One of my most psychic boyfriends was really in love with beer. And anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I mean,
and he was very sensitive.
Well, that's the thing about it is I went back up to Maine and suddenly I started having these feelings again. I realized that maybe it's just something to do with my connection to that place. Because Maine is a very strange place. Everywhere you turn, there is intrigue and drama and often also radon, which is a colorless, odorless gas that kills you because it is a emitter of very weak radiation. So it gets stuck in your lungs and it just slowly bombards your lung cells with radiation.
More or less toxic than whatever's going on in the Gowanus.
Have they been cleaning the Gowanus, right?
Yeah. But Greenpoint area also is like still kind of toxic, right?
And I used to live there too. I wonder.
Well, good thing you're indestructible. So
I mean, we'll see. I feel that way because I just got a rib tattoo yesterday.
Ooh.
And that's supposed to hurt a lot. And it hurt, but I'm very happy with the. Okay, so this is radio.
Uh-huh.
So no one outside actually gets to see this, but I'm now taking my shirt off a little bit.
Hello.
And, feel free to describe this to...
Hello. Oh, wow. That is enormous. I'm you know, that's what she said, but... No, wait a second. Will you show me that again?
Yeah.
That's what she... Okay. Pansy. It says pansy.
Yeah.
In big, old-fashioned script. I mean big. Old-fashioned like letters, like turn-of-the-century kind of signs... That's what it looks like a circus kind of.
Yeah.
And all the way down from his armpit down to his hip, in a vertical alignment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So
very impressive.
But we're not here to talk about me. Sorry, I just realized that I'm like eating up all this time talking.
Oh,
I feel so narcissistic.
What is time?
So Susan is involved in a number of musical projects. Lustrelit is one of the first that really comes to mind because they're doing a lot of fascinating stuff and good things.
We write and play songs about books only. Don't ask us to play anything else.
Right. And also, you are the founder of the Brooklyn Book Club.
The Bushwick Book Club.
Bushwick Book Club.
Yeah.
Gosh, sorry. Which is, I mean, would you like to? I could try to describe it.
Yeah, you try to. I love how you describe things.
Okay, well, thank you. Gosh. So it is a regular meeting of singer-songwriter types who have... every meeting involves the selection of a particular work of literature. These have ranged from things like Lunches with Orson, which is a collection of anecdotes about Orson Welles, or I think sort of like descriptions of the Orson Welles lifestyle.
So much fun.
And
we do nonfiction, fiction, classics. We did a cookbook. I really want to do an instruction manual, but we invite singer-songwriters and other artists, visual artists too, and sometimes chefs, to make a new something inspired by the chosen book for the show, and then we put it on for an audience. The audience doesn't have to read the book. The audience could be illiterate, you know.
Yeah.
We're not going to discriminate. My grandmother was illiterate, one of them. And she told amazing stories, and she was a very good cook.
See, exactly. Yeah. It's a great thing to check out. Everyone should actually go. I've had wonderful nights going to see the Bushwick Book Club.
I loved it when you contributed to our Monsters of Literature night.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I wrote a blues song about a zombie. Anyway, but we're here to talk about, actually we can talk more about that, but I'm curious because I feel like sort of the order of the hour.
Oh yeah.
Is you do a particular kind of healing.
I do.
So explain this concept to our listener, if you would be so kind.
Okay, I do vortex healing. And it is technically defined as divine magic. And it can be applied to people, places, things. And I have used it on all of those. Mm-hmm. It's an energetic healing art.
So when you say it's defined as divine magic, as opposed to sinister, like what would be sort of the opposite of divine or outside of that realm?
I don't know. As opposed to maybe, yeah, that's a good question. Divine, I don't know. It's you can't use it for like, you know, any kind of negative purpose.
Right. You couldn't heal someone too much or something.
No.
Like, my arms are too strong. What am I to do? Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Like it's sort of an invariably good thing to do.
Yeah.
It's just beneficial all the time.
Yeah. And it's kind of directed by the divine, you know. And it's an interesting thing because one of the things I really like about it is that it can work on like a physical condition, but it goes also at the same time to the source of the physical condition, which could be not just physical, but, you know, have origins in a belief or a thought pattern, and it can clear like the source of that and the source of that and the conditioning around that. And including the manifestation of whatever physical pain or ailment that you have. So, like, it can do all of that at the same time. It's kind of cool.
That's awesome. So,
it's a tool for awakening, too, if you're into that sort of thing.
When you say, ooh, awakening, like sort of spiritual awakening?
Yeah, spiritual awakening, yep.
Okay. So, let's say that someone goes in, they ask you for help. What is that sort of typical scenario? How does that play out? Is it sort of like, do they come to you with a problem? Do they come to you for, like, a diagnosis for what their problem? Okay.
Yeah.
So how would you use it to sort of diagnose some sort of issue?
Oh, well, they don't come to me so much for diagnosis because I don't really have that kind of, at least yet, I don't have that kind of sight. I know people who can connect with you and look at your system and tell you what they see, and they can see blockages or they see, you know, they have a kind of sight. I don't really have that, but I'm just sensitive and can pay attention to energy moving, and I can feel it.
Okay.
And I feel it kind of in my hands and in my head and in my body. And so I use that to, you know, help me track certain things, you know. But, you know, I'm like constantly experimenting with that, and it keeps expanding. So like my sensitivity and awareness keeps expanding, which I guess, you know, it's kind of true of whatever you focus on. But yeah.
I mean, you know, if you put your mind to anything, I suppose. But how did you get started with this?
It's weird.
Awesome. Weird is the best. I love weird.
Well, it's just, the whole thing is really weird, but I never considered myself psychic or anything like that, but I was involved with a performance support group, all women. Most of them were actors, And we would get together on Mondays after work, and we had a facilitator for the group, and she also did vortex healing and also something known at the time called resonance repatterning, and then it changed its name to holographic repatterning, I think. No, it was the opposite. It's now known. Anyway, she would help us like identify where we had common blockages and then use various modalities to clear those blockages. And one of those modalities was a vortex. Whenever she used vortex, I always liked that because it's magic. So it was fast. I just was really fascinated by that. And then I ended up getting an individual session from her. Her name was Kenya DeRosa. And in that session, I remember there was one part where I felt that energy moving, and I just felt like this kind of like swaying, and I could just feel this thing, and it's like, I had never felt that before. And it was like this movement that was happening, but I wasn't moving, but it was in me. And I was like, oh shit, I felt that. And I'm like, well, I actually felt it, so it must be real. And how do I learn how to do it? You mean I can just take a class and sign up and take a class? And I
was can like, you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so I signed up for the classes. I took a basic class, and then I took, different level classes after that, and I kept doing it for several years. But the weird thing was, like, prior to that, I wasn't really involved with meditation or anything like that. So once I got involved with Vortex, I was still like, I had issues about it. Like, I was kind of embarrassed. I wouldn't talk about it. My boyfriend, who was actually really psychic, he was so sensitive, and he always knew, like, when I wanted to cheat on him. And it was crazy. I was like, how did you know that?
This is like one of the downsides of dating a psychic that nobody ever talks about.
But also, he was weird about it because, like, he didn't believe in that stuff. And so he thought all that stuff was bullshit. You know, he was straight up, he was just an alcoholic bike messenger who was a very good drummer, and that's it. That's all he was. But inside, he was so sensitive, and so fun. And he would have dreams and I would never talk to him about this thing that I had been doing for years.
Yeah.
So I come from that to then all of a sudden talking on this radio show with you.
Thank you,
so,
by the way.
But also now I practice Vortex out of, she's a restorative medicine doctor.
Okay.
She's an MD, but she does bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. And I work at her practice. It's called MLMD. It's EMELLEMD.com. And just to give a little plug.
Oh, yeah. We'll put a link to this when it becomes a podcast.
She's amazing. Her name is Dr. Mary Laura Claseris. And I started working with her doing administrative things. And then when I mentioned that I do vortex healing, she's like, oh, great. You can do this out of the office, and you can offer that to patients. So I've been working with patients out of her office in Borum Hill. And I can practice out of there, but I can also practice at my home or on location or at a distance.
So you're...
I'm your all-purpose wizard.
That's wonderful. Yeah, your friendly neighborhood.
Yeah,
wizard person.
Yeah, friendly Bushwick wizard. I also started. Oh, I forgot to mention Bush Witch.
Bush Witch.
Yeah.
How did I not know about
Julie LaMandola and I? We started Bush Witch. We had a very soft start. It's still kind of very soft and plush at the moment, but she is also a very magical person, and she's very sensitive. And beautiful artist as well, and we're just combining her gifts with the vortex that I do, and she's amazing. If you need like an incantation on the spot, she can do that. She's just very good.
So she like it's sort of a go to place. Like here's my problem, here's
witchery.
Your solution. Okay, yeah.
You can have chants and spells. We create those kind of things, and she creates also like various kinds of visual art. And she has this amazing backyard, which if you've never been to, I am taking you. Maybe tonight I will give her a text and see if we can come over. Maybe
solid.
Yeah, cool. They have performances out there. Lettuce is her baby daddy, and he's. She's amazing, and you should see the and Johnny. Oh gosh. Anyway, I can't wait to introduce all of you to all those people.
So if somebody wanted to reach out to Bushwitch,
yeah,
How would they, where would they
Facebook.
Go?
Facebook.
Oh, okay, cool. So you guys are on Facebook?
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
Okay, cool. So back to these vortexes for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So at first you were like really reluctant to talk about it with people. Yeah. And so when did that change? Was it just like because you started doing it at the doctor's office or was it something else?
It was gradual. Eventually, towards the end of our relationship, I was able to get that boyfriend to come to a meditation. It was, I couldn't believe it, but he agreed to come and yeah, it was really cute. And but then the boyfriend I had after that was so accepting of me. That was Tom. Shout out, big shout out to Tom Bain. Ex-boyfriend Tom Bain. Woo. He was so great.
XBF.
And, yeah. But really, he was so great and accepting and open. And he, and to him, Vortex was like, oh yeah, cool. And so I, you know, with that, I just became more and more comfortable sharing that part of myself. And then I started working on friends and I would just take, I still do. I take every opportunity to Vortex somebody. You know, I'm like, oh, you have you're having respiratory problems. Let me Vortex that shit. Or someone just bumped their knee. Yeah. Like, oh, let me Vortex that really quick. Let's take the shock and trauma out of that, you know, so you don't retain any memory of the injury that unnecessarily in your system, like all kinds of things, you know.
So when you're doing this Vortex healing, where are, so like, I'm, like what's like ground level understanding of this?
Oh, okay.
Where are the vortexes? What are the vortexes?
there's a, it's, the vortex comes from the Merlin lineage.
Merlin as in King Arthur Merlin?
Kinda.
Okay.
But past that, Merlin was more a term that was used to describe someone who practiced divine magic. So they're kind of, they were different, it's hard to explain. I don't feel like I'm actually equipped to explain it very well. I'm not very articulate about it, you know, but yeah, there were people throughout you know, history time who practiced this, and you know, every incarnation of that person, they were, that's what they call them, is a Merlin. And I think King Arthur Merlin may have been one, but in this lifetime right now, like the founder of Vortex Healing as we have it right now, his name is Rick Weinman. And yeah, and he just had access to this and began sharing it.
Okay. And so he can, so is the idea of like you're creating vortexes or you're like manipulating existing vortexes?
No, you just have access through something called a vortex wheel to this particular brand of divine energy.
Okay.
Yeah, and you have access to that. And so in a way you're kind of a portal for that to reach people, you know.
Okay.
So it's like a channeling.
Okay.
I guess.
And is the vortex wheel like a physical thing in the room or is it?
No, it's like inside you.
Okay. So, okay. Interesting.
I've already said too much. No.
Wait, is there like a secret sign?
No,
to
there
this?
Isn't. No, no, I mean, no, no, nothing like that.
Like it's not like, so if you go to classes, no. Like they're never like holding out like, but if you want the real truth, you must become an initiate of the, like that doesn't happen.
No. It's nothing like that. It's like, it's so, I mean, in classes you receive transmissions that allow you to access this energy and to, you know, help, yeah, it just allows you to access the energy. I don't know how Reiki works, but maybe it's similar. I don't know.
Okay.
Or I mean, like, I don't know what Reiki classes are like. But
I mean, that does seem.
You do a lot of meditating in Vortex classes, and so sometimes they're like 5 days or more, and so sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I want to sign up for another class, and that means I have to sit on my ass and meditate for the, you know, 5 days. It's not exactly really exciting.
Right.
But then it ends up being really interesting, actually, just to like feel the different movement that goes on, and like, you know, your own system changes so much, and you know, your life changes a lot, and it's, you know, it's interesting.
Has exploring vortex healing changed your life in ways outside of wanting to like heal your friends and do these things? Like, does it change the way you look at other sort of interactions or events?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because then you just become a little bit more sensitive and conscious to to how you, it's made me really sensitive to how I'm feeling. Okay. And then, and also, you know, observant, you know, of others too, in a different way, you know, not just like surface what's going on, but also just like, yeah, what you're feeling. And I used to, when I first began this sort of thing, I guess I was drawn to it because I wanted to be cured. You know, I'm like, I don't want to feel this way anymore, whatever, however painful way I was feeling about something. And I was like, I'm going to get cured. I'm going to be better. And yeah. You know, what I found out is that, God damn it, I'm never cured.
Oh.
And so, but it, that used to depress me.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't. Like, the fact is, like, you know, they would explain it, like, in terms of an onion, where it's like, you peel another layer, and you, now that used to be the most depressing shit to me. I'm just like, what the fuck? You mean this is not going to end?
It's just sad under sad.
You know,
sad,
I'm just,
sad,
yeah,
under,
I'm like, another layer sad? Yeah. I'm like, fuck it, I don't know if I can take this shit anymore.
Yeah.
But what I found is that, like, oh, it's okay. It's actually, like, really okay. And, like, another, like, layer of something is not just sad, but it's, like, it's interesting, and it's like more for you to, there's just like more for you to want and to have, and the process of wanting and having is in of itself like very juicy and very interesting, and that's what I'll just keep doing until I fucking keel over. But you know what?
Yeah.
This is why I say that you're psychic, Cooper.
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you started out talking about pets and talking about the about being yours, the fact that we are the listeners. Ah, you were so fucking psychic. Do you know that I just came? You came from Maine.
Yes.
I came from Maryland having buried my dead cat.
Oh, gosh.
So pets and owning.
I'm so sorry.
And you know, it's okay. Like, pets and owning, that has been so on my mind. And
yeah.
One of the strongest thoughts I had right after Chutney died, Chutney, so adorable, was that I was struck with the sensation of my cat and how this cat was a part of my DNA. This cat was mine, yeah. You know? And I was like, how did this happen? It wasn't just, oh, here's this cat's paw that I'm petting for the last time. It's no. Here is like every scrap of like schmutz and debris on that paw was mine. Every hair was mine. Like the eye gook, you know, in his eye that I always collected. There's so much gook. That was my gook. I knew it as my own. This yeah. Because this being was mine. Even when I neglected and ignored this being, it was my being that I was ignoring. Do you understand? So it's like,
yeah.
So, and it was just such a, and that's what I thought. And then I started to think about every aspect of my life in the same way, like as if it were a pet, like, oh, yeah, sure, I live like really near poverty, but this poverty is mine. It is my poverty to live and experience. Like the you know, like everything, you know, like so you can embrace like every aspect of yourself in that way. You know, you right. can either like ignore it, you can treat it badly, but it's still fucking yours.
Yeah.
You may as well pet it and treat it nice. What yeah. the fuck? It's yours. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a weird
that's
sort of
the
cycle.
Thought that I had. And that's what like is also beneath like, you know, like the fact that you don't ever necessarily get cured. You know, you just keep like living your life and experiencing your things, you know, and you may create and not to say that like things don't change, you know, because that's the one constant. Right. But you get to experience like, you know, whatever layer of whatever you're experiencing, that's yours. Pet it. Love it. Or ignore it, but it's still yours.
That was gorgeous. I'm so happy you said that.
And I said it because you said it. You know, because you're fucking psychic, Cooper. You're, oh my God.
I mean, that's the weird thing,
and
right?
And you took off your shirt.
Because I went to Maine and I was like, I was recharged by the psychic powers of that state. That state is so weird. I don't know. I have such mixed feelings about that place because, like, I love it very deeply and I love the people there. But at the same time, like, I remember, like, having all these weird experiences. Like I started reading The Dead Zone, that Stephen King novel. Like, mm-hmm. They made a movie with Christopher Walken where he's just, like, you know.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, so they made a movie where Chris Walken's a psychic and he touches you and he can tell your future.
Oh.
Or, like, he can see, like, the past.
Okay.
It's just a lot of, like.
I love Christopher Walken.
You can die. Go. You can't stop. No. Oh, God. It's like, it's God, really fun to watch because, like, it's Christopher Walken going from being, like, normal Christopher Walken, which is still kind of weird, to being, like, I'm having a psychic, like, epilepsy moment. And, like, that's super, like, just he goes full Walken in this movie. But anyway, like, that movie is written.
Do it again.
Oh, it's just. Right. Okay, I'm going to tell the story in his voice for a second. But, like, okay. He's just like, it's like, so, you know, the book takes place in Maine, and I thought, oh, it's cool. I'm from Maine. I'll read this book. It takes place in Maine, and this is back in high school, you know. And so I was going to school every morning, but no, because in the first scene, this guy, and he pulls his car over to the side of the road, and his battery explodes and covers his face with acid, and he dies. And I was like, oh, no, that's the road I drive to get to school every morning. Oh, no. Oh, my God. This is too real. It's too close to home. I can't.
Oh,
ow. And so I was like, you know, so Maine, mixed blessing. In that regard.
Oh my God! If I die, or when I die, I want me to. I want to die that way.
You want to carve
I wanna,
out?
No, I
want
to die like laughing to your Christopher Walken accent. That
sweet.
Is so awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah, but like I don't know. I feel partially recharged in my like mystic-y ways because like I was telling you before. I think this was before we started recording. The idea was like you know, I look at Maine differently now that I do this sort of witchcraft show and I'm aware of witchcraft because like I went to go visit my parents and just down the street there's a psychic and there's somebody who Halsey Snow who I interviewed a while back who channels by Wamis. Like they live on that same road and it's just like this is a road in rural Maine like there's nobody there but the people who are there are my parents or psychic like it's either one or the other.
Your parents may be psychic.
They might be.
Yeah,
who knows?
It might just be an all psychic road.
It could the word I don't want to like I feel like I'm giving too much okay. I don't want to dox my parents right. But the road does have something to do with like no I'm not nope not going there that's not fine.
All right, okay.
I'm like very protective of my parents I love them very much and they're not I'm not doxing them to the literally tens of people who are listening to this episode. Okay gosh okay so let's see here so vortex healing was your first step arguably yeah. in this whole mystic-y magic-y world that you have entered but from there, you're making magical contacts. You're meeting magical people.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of like magic that you're attracted to now? Is there anything else that you've been exploring beyond the vortexes?
Oh, well, I really like Alexandra Marquardt's work. She calls her work Source, but I know her through Vortex because she was a Vortex teacher for a while. And then now she does her own practice and it's called Source. And she's just like, she's such an amazing person. Period and like so fun and so funny, but one of her stories that I like a lot is, you know, she was always psychic, and when she said in college, one of their drinking games was, her girlfriends they would get her drunk and then walk her around campus and make her turn off all the lights. She'd like walk near them and then like make them turn off psychically. You know, isn't that hilarious?
That the level like it's so weird and like because like I would be awestruck by something like that. I'd be like, oh my God, you have these mystical powers, you can affect physical reality with your mind.
Yeah.
But they're just like, oh, it's a cool thing you do.
Yeah, at dinner parties.
Let's get drunk and just watch you do it. As if you like watching that sober wouldn't be exciting enough. It's like, no, let's get drunk, so it's funny.
But anyway.
I mean that's you know, okay, back to Maine for a second.
Okay,
so there's stories about there was this professor at USM. University of Southern Maine, named Dr. Tanis. And apparently he had worked as part of the Project Stargate that the government was doing. Do you know Project Stargate at all?
Was that trying to build a something to destroy missiles, like a field? No.
Oh, that's Star Wars. The Reagan Star Wars thing. So Project Stargate was this remote viewing program. So they were trying to train psychics to basically use psychic powers to determine like the locations of Soviet military installations.
Oh my God.
And like the classic story is that one of them pointed at a sort of point in the map, sort of like in the northern portion of Siberia, and said and drew this thing that looked like a giant crane. And when they sort of like actually directed like a B-52 or whatever the satellite or whatever the photographing spy plane was over that site, they found a giant crane building a giant submarine. Like they're building like one of the largest like submarines they'd ever done at the time or something like that. But anyway, so Tanis was somehow related to this. And there's a story that he was teaching a class at USM. I don't know if this is true or not, because I was told this by someone who's been known to lie. So it may or may not be true. But what he said to me is that he was taking this class with Tanis, and that as sort of like a demonstration of something else, Dr. Tanis basically brought like sort of like a spotlight to the class, and he had it shining vertically up toward the ceiling. He was moving his hands in a circular fashion in the light for a while. And then he turned the light off, and where his hands had been, that ball of light, like that sort of circle that he had been making, was still there. And he asked people to come up and try to touch it. And it had been sort of like warm cotton candy. So like, I don't know, like there's this weird idea of like performative psychicness that I don't. Oh, wait, here's a question. Here's a question. I have a question. It's for you. Because you're the only one here. Oh, by the way, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. We're at the half hour point. It's 5:31. Stick around for the next program, which will be. Anyway, so I have a question for you. Yeah. And the question is, so you're a performer. You're constantly putting yourself in a situation where you have a sort of like you're feeding off the energy of a crowd to some extent. Like you're kind of like you're at least aware of like how things are going to some extent. Do you ever feel that vortex, your vortex training has sort of changed the way you interact with crowds in a performance type setting, or even like in the way that you write things as a musician?
Sure. Yeah. I think maybe both of those things. I've tried in the past, but usually once I'm performing, like I can't really think, you know, I can't think actively about like the energetic stuff. Like I can't think consciously about it. Like I mean, one time a friend of mine, who's a great vortex practitioner, and she does her own kind of practice. Her name is Joey Jacobson, and she works out of Astoria and lots of other places. But she gave me some extra like structures. To help with a particular performance, and she said, "Oh, when you're performing, you know, try hooking up to the grid that will be there that just naturally hooks up to like joy in the room, and try, experiment with that when you're performing." And I couldn't consciously do it when I was performing, but it does make me sensitive just about how I'm feeling, you know, and I know that when I. If I'm giving like some like a performance that's really connected and really emotional, often afterwards, I just feel the rush of energy. I just feel it all moving. But I mean, you know, lots of performers have told me that, and you know, they go through similar things. But yeah, I feel the rush, you know, and then like, I'm really disoriented and I don't know what my name is and where I am, you know, like, so it's weird, like how you can, you know, your focus can be so intense that like everything else really disappears, like including like, you know, your name. And I know that it's possible to like connect with people energetically, like through your navel. And connect with the room and connect with other people that way with a specific intention. And sometimes that intention can like draw them in, and sometimes, and maybe not even in ways that are, or draw them in a way that's a little bit hooky, like, you know, or whatever. I never intend that kind of thing. Sometimes I use magic to like clear a space, you know, before I perform in it.
Okay.
Or it maybe set up like extra structures for like receptivity, you know, in the room and like connecting with people.
So are you using like rituals for that, or how are you, is it sort of like an intention energy thing? Like how are you going?
Yeah, it's like, it's like the channeling of the energy thing. So like, I'll do it right now.
Okay.
Okay. So, would you like this room to be, cleared with any particular quality?
Oh gosh. I mean, if you could, I think it'd be good to give this room like more attentiveness. Does that make sense?
Ah, okay. All right. So. So I'm creating a. Like a ball of energy in between my hands.
Okay.
And I'm asking for it to clear the room, this whole space. and with the quality of attentiveness. Something to promote attentiveness. And it's going to expand. And there you go. But you can also, like put energetic crystals into a room and then create like a grid for attentiveness within the room.
Okay.
An energetic like, grid.
What kind of crystals would you use for? Would it like depend on the quality you're trying to sort of instill in the room, or is it just sort of like they're good crystals for this?
It's an energetic crystal, so it'd be like, I would. Everything is made up of web lines.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you ask for the crystal to form, and then you ask. You ask for the web lines.
Okay, so she's going now around the room, and she's said she asked for the crystal to form, and then you asked for the web lines to hold it in place. And now she's over in one corner of the room. Okay, she's taking the headphones off, and she is okay. She's now in the other corner. Okay, this is really cool. I don't think we ever had like a demonstration on this show before of somebody doing the things they talk about. This is fantastic.
And I want to do something for you personally and see how you feel it.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm.
I can't really go.
Yeah, so you're kind of barred from the final corner of the room.
I'll just do what I can do.
Okay, so it does sort of feel like the room's opening up. Like there's a sense of something happening. Also, thank you, because I feel like you're benefiting not just me, but also, like, whoever's coming in after us. But, okay, so she's now at the final corner, which is the door of the studio. And, okay, she's doing another at the door. So, okay. So every time she goes to a corner, she's been standing with her hands cupped and then sort of crouching toward the corner. Now she's standing in the center of the room.
I'm just asking.
She is asking for... A grid to form between all the different crystals that were in, that were displaced in the room.
With the intention of attentiveness. And I'm going to say like attentiveness in communication and connecting with each other.
And she's going to say attentiveness in communication and connecting with each other. And she's standing in the... Okay, and it's done.
It's done!
Cool. So when you were sort of kneeling down to the corners, were you setting crystals?
Uh-huh, yeah. I was setting them there and asking for the web lines to hold the crystals there permanently.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was amazing to behold. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Wow, okay, that was so cool.
Do you want me to do a thing, like, on your body or something? Or, like, I don't know. You have anything that you want like fixed?
Not right now. I'm doing actually like at a really high point in my life. It's kind of weird.
Good.
Like I'm not used to like being super positive about things, but I'm feeling like great about basically everything right now.
Awesome.
So yeah. But thank you. Okay, so that was super cool and an amazing thing to behold.
What about the healing of that of your tattoo?
Oh, I mean I think it's fine. I'm going to go to the parlor soon and they're going to get me like this thing called second skin or whatever.
Oh. That's like super glue.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm excited to be reskinned like a snake, mm-hmm. like a human snake. Mm-hmm. Gosh. Okay. So, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. It's 20 of the hour. This is Into the Dark. Keep listening to this station for exciting things and everything. Oh, speaking of which, of exciting things to come, since I have you here and I don't want to forget to do this.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything you want to plug that's coming up that you're doing that
yes.
people should check out? Okay, yes. Cool. Yes. Please talk about these things.
Tomorrow night, Luster Lit, the previously mentioned duo that I have with Charlie Nealand.
They're very good.
Oh, thank you. Well, you should come out and see us. We're playing at Union Hall tomorrow. It's a very early set, 7 p.m. And then afterwards, Larry Crone is playing a set of music that I'm also helping on a few songs.
Okay, cool.
And after that, Jim Andrelis is playing, and I sing harmonies with him. We're known as the Syntonics. I am a Syntonic.
Sick.
Yeah. And I do harmonies with Julie Delano, Leslie Graves when she's here. She's not here right now. She's traveling. And also Jesse Kilgus. And I'm going to be playing my Korean drum. It's called a changu. It's a double-sided Korean drum. And I play that with Lester Litt throughout. And also I'll be playing a little bit of that with Jim and with Larry. Or maybe not. And then, but singing and harmonizing, you know, throughout the sets and stuff. So it's going to be really fun. It's at Union Hall tomorrow. It'll be like, I guess, 7, 8, and 9 o'clock, those sets. And it's going to be a really great Monday night. And if you do your Christopher Walken voice, that'll be the best Monday night ever.
That is a thing.
It'll be so good, you'll want to die.
I mean, gosh, I often feel that I want to die when I start doing it, just because it does. It's a thing really that's time funny. Has passed. I feel like, right? Because Christopher
really?
Walken, I don't know. It's weird because
I thought he was timeless.
He is timeless. He's certainly ageless. But I mean, the thing about Walken is just I feel like he's gone far enough into becoming sort of like a parody of himself.
Hmm.
Like knowingly. I mean, like I remember he was quoted somewhere saying something like, I'm not a great actor, but when they need someone to be Christopher Walken in a movie, I'm the first one they call. And like, that's, you know, that's a beautiful thing to sort of know yourself in that way. But like, I feel like Christopher Walken's one of those people, like everybody's got a Christopher Walken impression, right?
I don't.
Okay. Okay, fine. I need to reassess that.
Mm.
Trying to, because like.
But maybe you can teach me. Can you teach me?
Oh gosh. What is a Christopher Walken impression? It's like, okay, so it's like up and in the back of your throat.
Okay.
Sort of like if you're like a duck and you're gonna quack a little bit.
Quack, 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 quack.
Yeah. But now say like, whoa, like a duck.
Whoa. That's not good.
That's quite, that's something though. That's like approaching Gilbert Godfrey, and I support that. The thing is, like, when I moved to New York, I thought, like, oh, I'm going to bump into celebrities. It's going to be really crazy. And the only person, like, I just keep walking past Gilbert Godfrey in different places. That's my one celebrity. It's like the parrot from Aladdin. It's always like this weird moment of, like, I'll walk by him and then realize, like, my brain will process the image, like, 10 seconds later. I'm like, wait, that was Gilbert Godfrey. And I'll turn around and now realize there's nothing. What do you say to Gilbert? Like, just like, hi.
Yeah.
I like your voice. I am aware of who you are.
Yeah.
You have been seen, Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah. I'm terrible about that. I remember one time Drew Barrymore walked into a bar I was in, and I was just, I just couldn't stop staring at her. And I was like, I have to not stare at her. That's all. Yeah. That happened. And one time I passed Mandy Patinkin on the sidewalk.
Cool.
Oh my God. I almost died. Oh my God. Oh my God. I love him so much. And I thought I drove past James Franco today. And what I wanted to do but didn't do was like roll down the window and be like, hey, aren't you Dina's friend? That's what I wanted to do because he is Dina's friend. But that's what I didn't do it.
When I was going to college, James Franco was getting an MA or something.
Yeah, yeah.
In high school. Mm-hmm. And like, so I walked past him once in the English building. And it was this weird moment of like, oh, that was James Franco. Do you do a thing now? Or do you just, I guess I just, oh, but I'm late. And like, it was like, that was like, it just became this entirely just like, everything is mundane and banal. It's fine. I have to be at this place and talk about Elizabethan literature or something for the next hour. Okay. I feel like we should get back on the topic of politics.
Okay.
Just because like the people,
sure.
They came here for magic. We
yeah.
just give them. Well, I mean, you just did a whole ritual though. Of course. So like, okay, so vortexes. Gosh.
Yeah, it can be applied to musical instruments.
Even. You've done it to objects.
Yeah, objects.
So like, does the energy of an object change with the sort of the compared to like the energy of a human being? Like, as a human being, is it like less active than a human's energy?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume yes, because it's not it's not living. But I'll show you something.
Okay.
Okay. So I didn't make these, but another vortex wizard did. But these objects have what is known as divine doors.
Okay.
In them, and a divine door, it can be placed into an object or a person, and it's like a portal to the divine, but with a very specific intention.
Okay.
So this one has a divine door for abundance and money.
So that
this one has a divine door. Yeah, this is a shell.
Okay, but it's shaped sort of like a tornado, this shell.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It can be held in anything. You know, these are just things I have. And this one has a divine door for clarity in it.
Okay, so that's a doll made out of, mm-hmm. What is that made out of?
I don't know. Hemp fibers? I don't know.
Okay.
But I thought it was cute because it was a little wizard. And you can hold on to the object and meditate on it. And it'll work in your system to create a healing for that, for clarity or for abundance or whatever. And it's fun. I like to give it to certain friends of mine who are pretty sensitive, and I don't tell them what it is, and I just say, hey, hold this and see, you know, what does it feel like to you? And they oftentimes describe it in similar ways.
Okay.
And they'll say, oh, I feel it in my water chakra, and you know, I feel that this moving off the top of my head or whatever. And it's, you know, it's just, you know, creating movement in your system towards that intention. But if you want to hold one and see if you feel anything, you can.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it makes great radio.
I mean, what's weird about this is it does feel significantly heavier than it should be.
Oh,
like
interesting.
There's something about it. I don't.
But yeah, and it might be like too much to, you know, focus on right now when you're trying to do this radio show and focus on other things and communicating and keeping conversation going and stuff. But if you want to hold on to it later and, you know, whatever, just experiment.
I mean, my left hand, which is the hand that is holding it, does actually feel a bit strange. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of that is like, because it could just be me like expecting to feel something. And so, of course, I'm feeling something because I wasn't given this to me blind, as you have with friends in the past. But this is interesting because it does feel sort of heavier than it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you can put these doors into any object you want, right?
If you took the class for it and, you know, and you have that capacity to do it, I haven't taken that particular level of class yet. But
okay.
I want to in the future just because it's such a cool thing to be able to do.
Right, right.
You know?
So where did you acquire these objects?
My friend, Anka, she lives and works out of the West Village. She's another Vortex practitioner.
Okay.
And Anka, Anka Frolic, I think that's her name. And she's great. She's German. And she's taken like every single freaking class, I think.
Okay.
And I visited her one day and I was like, oh, can I have a divine door for this and for this and for this? Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And like, so this is something that like conceivably, if you like went far enough in this, words are hard. Ours are difficult. If you went far enough in this, you could.
English is my second language. Go ahead.
I mean, you're still better at this than I. Anyway, point is, if you wanted to, you could conceivably then, like if you had this capacity, you could just make bunches of these.
Yeah.
To just give to people in need of these things.
You could.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That's really interesting. Because I feel like you're the first person who's come on this particular program and talked about the idea of like magical objects that you could, that could sort of have power independent of you a little bit. Like you could like kind of charge with something and like let them go do their thing in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, gosh, that's actually really...
It's cool.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Now I really... This, this is making vortexes.
And a lot of this, you know, can be done at a distance. You don't even have to be there physically. you know, to channel to someone or even to a geographic location, you know.
Is there, would you need to establish some sort of
And people do healings, vortex healers get together sometimes with that specific intention, like to affect, you know, healing in, or open up, like, or clear energy in a certain, for a certain location, like, yeah, or situation even.
So have you ever tried doing a sort of remote vortex-y thing?
Oh yeah, all the time.
For do you have any, is it okay to talk about? Like, do you have like some examples of?
Sure. Like, I can do it for clients. I do it for friends often. I learned that I can do this thing called reality shifting, and sometimes you can do it at a distance and sometimes you can't.
What is reality shifting?
I didn't know if I could. It's like when you take a situation or like an organ or an issue in a person, and you channel energy into it so that it lifts out of time and space and it oscillates, and as it's oscillating it drops a lot of conditioning, and then it's put back into the person's system, but just without that conditioning. So there's like a lot more space around that issue, and, you know, hopefully, yeah, clearing around that issue.
So
or the body part or whatever.
Would you say, and like,
and I did that at a distance with my friend, and that was so fun with my friend Joey.
Yeah,
it was really fun. Anyway, go ahead.
How far were they from you when
she was in Astoria? It's pretty freaking far.
That is, I mean, Astoria is farther. From the thing about Astoria is like it's farther from most places in New York than, like, Astoria is somehow farther from, say, Brooklyn than it is from Russia, just because, like, of the way
exactly.
New York is designed.
What a good way to put it.
What was I going to say? Reality shifting, and then I got distracted by Astoria.
At a distance, we're like doing energetic work at a distance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gone out of place.
Geographic
question. So, yes, I'm raising my hand in the studio, even though we're the only people here. So, in terms of like vortex healing, is the sort of conception that people are, for the most part, sort of fine until something goes wrong? Or is there sort of an idea of, like, being human, there are certain things you need to do to progress? Because you were talking about like the idea of dropping conditioning, which, like, is that the sort of conditioning you would get, like, as a person who becomes part of a society, you know, you learn the ways of this. Okay, so this is a...
That kind of stuff, too. But it's really... Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like if you experience an emotion, you know, due to a situation, like when you're young, and then for whatever reason, you retain aspects of that emotion and that situation, and then... maybe you form beliefs around it that continue to create that situation or feeling.
Right.
You know? And so then you become like attached to that situation or feeling. I mean, you think about most dysfunctional relationships or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there you go. So that would be like those thoughts and beliefs that you hold would be conditioning, I believe. And that can also manifest then into physical things.
Okay, yeah. So, like, things get rooted in you, and then you need, like, a little push to get them out.
And I mean, and you can carry, like, that basic, like, kernel of belief or thought or attachment to that emotion. You can carry it, you know, even, like, through lifetimes, they say, right? So you can be, like, born with a certain, you know...
Okay, so this is
a thing, but also just it can be created within your lifetime too, you know.
Okay, so you could like inherit,
you could,
these sorts of problems from a past self.
Yeah, and I mean some of them are even like genetic. Like I'm pretty sure I inherited. Like I'm pretty sure it's in my DNA. This kind of like perfectionism, like survival struggle shit, you know, that I get from being Korean. Mm. You know,
I mean, yeah, Korea's been through.
And anyway.
So like there's an understanding then with vortex healing that there is a sense of like past lives.
Mm-hmm. And you can get to the root of that with vortex healing too, and clear the root of that, even down to the DNA. There's a genetics class you can take.
Really?
Yeah.
And once you
I haven't taken it, but yeah.
once you clear all this stuff out, what is there a sense that you'll stop having lives, or you'll progress to some other form, or is it just sort of like
you're dead? I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, you can like basically clear past lives.
Oh, and mm-hmm. sort of start with a clean slate.
Yeah, cleaner slate. Just gives you more room and more freedom, you know, while you're incarnated this way right now around all those things, you know.
Is there a sense within Vortex Healing that you're going to just sort of keep having lives until, like, is there sort of like a, I don't know how to put this.
I think, you know, everybody has their own like deal and situation, right? And okay. And their own timeline. So for some people, this might be their last lifetime, and for others, it might not. You know, I think it's a very personal choice.
and once you like, is there some sense of like what happens once you stop having lives? Like, where you, like, do you cease? Do you rejoin whatever sort of divine power you're accessing through these doorways? Like, what becomes of you?
I don't know. I guess you become, you know, part of that universal energy thing, part of the, you know, that's what I would assume. I don't know what the official word is on that, the official vortex word is on the afterlife.
Is there a sort of central authority to this sort of thing? Or is there like, because you said it was brought back by
Rick Wineman. Yeah. I mean, we have copious notes on all of these things, actually. And we're given those notes in class, and we talk about all those things, and you can ask a vortex teacher anything, and they'll invariably have like really articulate answers, which is great, because like I find it hard to speak about these things, but I mean, all the vortex teachers I've had have been really good with taking questions and explaining stuff.
Okay. Is Rick Wineman still alive? Could we?
Oh yeah, yeah. You can give him a call. You can write him an email.
Oh wow. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, there are talks. You can hear like talks. You can see YouTube videos where he's spoken at different conferences and been interviewed on this and that. And there's radio interviews too. And yeah, he's a real guy. And
there's something about this. Like it feels like lost to the sands of time.
He's so good at explaining all this stuff.
Okay, well, that's super cool.
If you're interested.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, where would be... So a good thing for them to do would be to go to one of these classes, presumably, right?
Yeah, you could. Absolutely. And you could also just go on the website, vortexhealing.com, and read about it. I'm telling you, it's gonna seem weird, you know. But I the only reason I'm in it is because I felt it, and that was real to me. So I just accept all the other stuff, and I don't know.
I mean, that's sort of, I feel like, the most telling kind of moment is like that idea of like, because I mean some people, like, they're interested in this stuff from like a young age, and so like they're curious mm-hmm. about it, so like, you know, you could say conceivably feel like there's a part of like they're very open to the idea that this is going to work, this is going to be a real thing that mm-hmm. does stuff, but like when you're just
I just felt it, and I don't feel like I have a need to be like a magical person, so I'm not like really identify, like I don't have a lot of attachment to that sort of thing, you know, like I didn't like grow up thinking, you know, I wanted to be, of course, like I wanted to be like Carlos Castaneda and like go on like mental trips and stuff and see visions. And I would try to do the meditating thing. And I took a class on Native American things when I was in college, and I tried to do the sweat lodge. I'm like, I want to have a vision. I want to, like, I had nothing. I saw nothing, felt nothing. You know, so I know. Right. So I feel like, wow, this is just, you know, I'm doing vortex just because I felt it, you know, the end.
Yeah. Right. It worked.
Yeah.
You found what worked.
Yeah.
Which is the key to all of this. I mean, okay, so we're at the end of our time.
Oh,
so thank you so much for being on.
Let's make some more time.
I mean, if you ever want to like come back on, we could do this again.
We'll do experiments or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be sick. Yeah. So thanks everybody for listening. Tune in 2 weeks from now.
I'm playing tomorrow night with Lester and with Charlie. Don't forget.
Absolutely.
Union Hall, Park Slope, dudes.
Union Hall starting at 7?
7 p.m. is our set.
Awesome. Okay, so check that out. Check out Lusterlit. Check out the Bushwick Book Club. Check out Bushwitch on Facebook.
Yeah, vortexhealing.com, mlmd.com.
Nice. Keep listening to Radio for Brooklyn. And as always, if you have any questions for our research department, send them to intothedark, rfb@gmail.com.
Into the dark.